We have a very gifted and talented praise band, even when there are only two of them. So I want to thank them for being here. And also, we're always looking for more praise band members. So if any of you know how to play instruments or know someone who plays instruments or sings, please let Greg, Tim, David, all of them know and kind of build those connections so we can build them up and help them out. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 1 through 9. We're going to ask that the word of the Lord fall afresh on your ears this day. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to take for me an offering from all whose hearts prompt them. To give you shall receive the offering for me. This is the offering that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod for the breastpiece, and have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them in accordance with all that I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture. So you shall make it." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're following, sort of, the Israelites in the wilderness. And then they've been at the Mount for some time. And God has been present with them. Last week we saw them grumble because they don't really like what's on the menu in the wilderness. They long to go back where they came from because that is what they know. We find as human beings, not only do we not like change, but we don't like being in places where we're uncomfortable, where we don't know what's going to happen, which is funny because that's most of life, right? We like to put ourselves in this place where we think we know what's going on, but we really don't. And whenever we see we're in this place of unknowing, what we call that liminal space, we don't know what the next place will be like. It's like that revelation that, oh my gosh, I really don't know what's going on. The church as a whole, not just St. John's, not just the United Methodist Church, but the church as a whole is kind of in that place. Of every denomination is dwindling in membership. It's struggling to keep up. Culture has changed, but we're stuck in old habits because it's made us comfortable, and we don't understand why things change. It's interesting that if the church isn't willing to change, there's only one way to go. It'll just continue to lose members. So as we move forward in this place of the wilderness, we're looking really close to a people who understands what it means to go to a place, even though it sounds awesome, it's a land of milk and honey. We're like, I don't know. I kind of like to be where I know where stuff is. I like to be where I've been, right? Every year, my family and I go on vacation. And I plan these vacations. I'm super excited because we go to a different state every year, right? And every year my family's up in arms. Why can't we go where we have already been? And I said, because we've already been there. We're not going back. I don't care how great Georgia was. We're not going back. We're going to Kansas. And my family's like, no! If we go to Kansas, and we like it. And my family still talks about the journey. The journey is extremely, it's integral, it's integrated, it's part of our identity, the journey. It's faith-forming is what the journey is. And we have to continually to move so that we will continually form. So we find the Israelites here at the base of the mountain, and it's one of the giving scenes in the wilderness. It's a beautiful, beautiful scene where they want, God is telling them, build the spectacular tabernacle. Now remember that they're nomadic, so it has to be a building where they can put up and take down and move it around. And wherever they go, there is that sign that God is in the midst of community. And God is going wherever they go. Now, I want you to keep that image in mind. The people have a purpose. God has given them a purpose. They have a goal, right? Not only is God moving them into a place where they have not yet been, but God is giving them things to do. And one of those things is to shine out his glory. You heard this list of things that they are supposed to bring for the building of this tabernacle. It's extravagant. They're extravagant gifts. They're gemstones. And they're this beautiful threads. It's to bring the very best, to proclaim the glory of the Lord in this place. It's very important to have purpose, because the other giving passage that we have in the wilderness, the people have lost purpose. Moses has gone up onto the mountain. A cloud of smoke that declares the presence of God has come down upon the mountain. And the people seem to think that Moses has been there too long. They're missing their leader. They know their story. They know that God has brought them out of slavery. They will tell you that story over and over again. But they've lost track of who that is, who is God. It has not yet entered into their DNA. And they get a little nervous. And so then they start asking, not only do they not know who God is, really, just what God has done, but who is this man Moses? Apparently he's not coming back down the mountain. He's abandoned us. So they look to Moses' brother Aaron, and they said, you create for us a God that brought us out of Egypt. Basically, they're asking, what does this God look like? Does he even really exist? Yeah, we've got this tabernacle that we built. It's supposed to tell us about the presence of God, but, you know, we look at all these other people out there. They have images. They're losing track, right, of who they are as a people. So Aaron says, okay, everybody give me your jewelry. Now, it's interesting where this jewelry came from, because God provided it. When they left Egypt, the Egyptians were so terrorized by all the plagues. They're like throwing gold at them. Get out and don't come back. That's where all this jewelry came from. It came from the Egyptians. God provided that for them. So they're taking it off. They're taking off their earrings. They're taking off their necklaces. They're taking off their nose rings, their bracelets, everything. That is a value. And they throw it all at Aaron. And Aaron creates a cast, a mold, puts all the jewelry in there, puts it in the fire, lets it set. And out comes this bull. It looks like the god Baal. And so they're all excited. They know now what their god looks like, they think. And they began to worship. And the Hebrew word says, and they began to revel. That means they began to do bad things. They began to look like other surrounding cultures and what they did for their gods, which were fertility gods. And you know what you have to do to be fertile? Well, they were doing that in public. All right. That's what reveling is. And so then it cuts scenes, and we're on the mountain with Moses and God sees what the people are doing, what they have given themselves over. Not only have they given their gifts, they've lost sight of who they are. And they've given themselves to this, to look like other cultures. And God says, your people, nobody wants to own them, not even God. Your people are down there reveling. I think I'm just going to smite them and start over with you. And Moses is like, uh-uh. No, 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 no. Your people, those are your people. Those aren't my people. Your people are doing that. You're the one that rescued them from Egypt. You're the one that brought them out here in the wilderness. What do you think those other nations are going to say when you've brought them all the way out here and you smite them? It's your reputation that's on the line. Right? God says, okay. So Moses goes back down with the Ten Commandments, you know, those big tablets. He goes down there and he sees the people and he's just enraged. Throws all his hard work onto the ground, those beautiful tablets that God actually wrote out in God's own hand. And goes down there and finds his brother, Aaron, and goes, what is going on? What is this calf that you have created? And Aaron was like, well, you know, I got all this gold and I threw it in the fire and this thing just came out. He doesn't even want to own up to it. But the thing is we're going to surrender our loyalty to something. We're going to surrender our gifts to something. We're going to surrender our finances to something. And if we are not mindful about it, we're either going to give to the glory of God and God's presence in community, or we're going to look like community, right? We're going to look like what culture looks like. We have that choice of where we want to invest. It's about our identity, about who we are. Who are we at the core? And yeah, finance is a part of that. Finances actually is a huge part of that. Jesus talks about finances a lot. He tells people, where your treasure is, there your heart is. You know, we can probably look at our bank statements and see where our money is spent, and we can tell that. And because I know about the golden calf, and I myself can even go through that, because it has to do with not just our identity about who we are, but we're in culture all the time. We're bombarded with it. If we're going to watch television, if we're going to drive down the street, there are ads all over the place telling you what you are supposed to look like and where you are supposed to invest your money. Whether it is materialistic or whether it is investment, whatever that is for you, the culture is going to tell you. So for me, probably my golden calf is eternal youth and beauty. And Facebook knows this. You do not know when I scroll through Facebook how many their ads are about skin creams and hair products and eternal youth. I'm like, oh, that looks good. And I have to look at all of it, right? And then I have to tell myself, this isn't real. This isn't real. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. But we all have that golden calf, right, that we are tempted to chase after and invest. And then we get caught up in it, and it doesn't work out. And we're like, Aaron, well, I just threw it in there, and that's what came out. No, you chased after that. You were quite intentional about it, even though you didn't feel like you were at the time. It's about investing instead of in ourselves, because what the people at that time were investing in their insecurities, right? It's all about insecurity. When I go after stuff that is like the golden calf, it's about insecurities. But when I can trust the presence of God and know. You know, we're all living gospels, right? To know our story, to know that we are beloved children of God, that God loved us so much, that God would love a people like the Israelites so much that he would pluck them out of slavery, bring them out into the wilderness to transform their lives. That's the beauty of our relationship with God. I love this passage because it says, get the people to give whatever their hearts prompt them. Right? There's not a certain amount at this time. We've heard about the tithe, the 10%. Some of you were at that. Some of you are a little less than that. Some of you are above that. Mac and I are still working towards the tithe. The scripture also tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 through 7, 9, you know that passage. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. You know, I am, because I want to chase after things that feed my insecurities, I go ahead and give directly to the church through draft. I just have them draft right off the top every single week. They're taking an amount out of it so that I don't get lost in the shuffle. You've seen how unorganized I am. You've heard, I admit that to you. This is the easy way for me. And some of you are doing this with your bills anyway. It's just a great way. And when I go on vacation, when I'm not here, it's already taken care of. And it just comes right off the top. It's awesome. So that's why when the plate's passed, you don't see me actually putting stuff in the plate, which really feels kind of weird, you know, because I know you guys are watching what I do. I live in a fishbowl, and that's why. Mac and I, we haven't always agreed on giving as a couple. So this cheerful giver thing wasn't quite happening early on in our marriage, because I was brought up and raised in the church, so I understood the giving aspect of it. I have been giving since my youth. It was a part of who I was. And Mac, new to this whole living Christian thing, why are you doing that? The church pays you. Why are you giving the money back? Because it's part of what we're supposed to do. It's part of our spiritual disciplines. So basically, early on, I would tithe off of my income and not his, because he wasn't there yet. He wasn't there yet. And we had a lot of tension about that. To put a plug in for financial peace, it wasn't until we took financial peace, which was probably 10 years into our marriage, that he finally understood what that was about. We tell ourselves, well, I worked hard for that money. There's all kinds of things that we can tell ourselves, but the truth is, everything we are, everything we have, every capability that we have, every gift and talent is a gift from God. Right? Everything, everything, everything. So when the people are asked, hey, come and bring all this stuff so that we can build the presence of God together, I want you to hear that. To build the presence of God together. They were called to bring their very best, not all of who they are, but a part of it. You don't have to bring your whole store, but as a community, we come together to bring the very best and proclaim the presence of God. So our gifts and our tithes are simply a part of that commitment. So this week, you'll get a letter from me. You'll have your pledge card in there. I always think my letters are very insufficient. So if you agree with me, it's okay. But take a look at that pledge card and pray over it. Pray over that pledge card. That's your homework this week, which I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. Last week, you heard me talk about we're going to start cottage meetings and that kind of thing to discern where we want to go. It's time that we have to learn to do ministry differently. It's time to kind of step out and try new things, to experiment, which I'm super excited about. I never was one to have an entrepreneurial spirit, and I've always been afraid of failure. But I feel like if we're all in the same boat and we agree it's okay to fail, and we give each other permission to do that, I think we'll be in a good place, right? How many of you are afraid to fail? Yeah, there's something about us. We are success-driven, and everything we do has to be successful. And if we aren't successful, then it's completely embarrassing, and we have mud on our face. I know what that feels like. Oh, my goodness, do I know what that feels like. But if we agree to do that together, to dream new ways of doing things, I'm super excited about that. So we're going to have cottage meetings. I already have two that have committed to host these cottage meetings. If you would like to host a cottage meeting, reach out to the office and let us know, and we can schedule that. I'm super excited about being in other people's homes, but we'll also have one here as well and one at my house. And what we're going to talk about is what is important to us. What are the things, if we're going to make changes, what do we not want to leave behind? What are our values? What are our passions? What's important to us that this is what it means to be St. John's United Methodist Church? This is what I want to invest in. And if we change these things, we're not St. John's United Methodist Church anymore. We will always take these values with us wherever we go. And give us permission to start dreaming. What are our passions? What do we hold in common? What are some of the themes? To think about, when have we felt most connected to the church? And when have we felt disconnected from the church? These are the types of things we'll be talking about in these cottage meetings, and those are the things I want you to be thinking about. But as for your homework for this week, you'll be getting that pledge card. Read the letter. Basically, it tells you how proud I am to be your pastor. A couple of the great things. If I went through all the great things, it would be a book instead of a letter. It's already too long as it is. To get that pledge card and pray over it. To let the Holy Spirit prompt you. To invest in the presence of God in our community through this place. Because that's what we're investing in. Yeah. You're literally supporting the staff. You're literally supporting the ministries of this place. You're supporting the utilities of this place. But all of it proclaims the presence of God to us here in this place. But more importantly, to out into the community. And through the connection of the United Methodist Church, out into the world as the United Methodist Church into the power of the Holy Spirit. That we are the light of Christ proclaiming the gospel. In the weeks to come, well, actually next week, super excited. Next week you will hear two different speakers in each service. So the services will be different. I highly encourage you to go to both services. So Sam Brace and Becca, who is from, wait, Becca, she will be speaking next week at this service. And at the second service, Ty Clark and Christian will be speaking at the second service. And what you will hear is witness, their faith story. This last week, you know, our vows are to uphold this local congregation with our prayers, which you should have been praying for your church last week, your gifts, that's what we're talking about this week, your financial offerings. Next week will be witness. You'll hear that witness, and you will be hopefully inspired to share your own witness out into community. And the last one will be service, and that is the week you will turn in your pledge cards. So that's what this month looks like. I'm super excited. Thank you so much for what you share in this congregation and what we all get to share together at St. John's United Methodist Church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As our praise band gets back up on stage, I want to invite...